We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College, presented by GiveUNC, Carolina's annual giving day. Make this March 30th a day like no other by supporting the causes at Carolina that inspire you most.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. And just buckle up. This is an electric show. Why is there so much electricity crackling in the air right now? We're flying high in the sky, Adam, because it's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Partying, 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 partying. Fun, 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 looking forward to the weekend.
Fly, 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 high in the sky. It's Friday. NCAA tournament game tonight for the Tar Heels. Matching up with the Wisconsin Badgers in West Lafayette, Indiana. We're going to preview the matchup with Wisconsin. And, Adam, not one, not two, Adam, you're holding up two fingers, not two, three guests on today's show. We're taking you inside the men's and women's tournament bubbles. We have brand new, only heard here on the Carolina Insider, RJ Davis interview. Plus, we're going to let you hear the audio from the two interviews that we had on the video pod yesterday. One from Bubba Cunningham, one from Courtney Banghart. Adam, we're here in Pod World headquarters. We're in Indianapolis. We're in San Antonio. We're in West Lafayette. We're everywhere, Adam.
You cannot get any closer to the NCAA Tournament March Madness TM than on the Carolina Insider Podcast TM.
We're presented all month long by GiveUNC. Join your fellow Tar Heels. Hold hands if you must on March 30th for GiveUNC, Carolina's annual giving day. That is one day on March 30th. Hundreds of causes to support. And you can learn more at giveunc.unc.edu, giveunc.unc.edu. Not only do we have all of that hoops content, Adman and I each have in front of us right now an Olroy donut. We have pulled some strings behind the scenes. We had a total of 14 Olroy donuts delivered to Pod World headquarters. Adam has already eaten 12. So there's two left, one for each of us. And we're going to give our review of the Olroy donut. 5-second challenge. Adam is on the hot seat today. Adam better have a what up on his list. We have a story time today. So much. Adam, hello.
Checking every single box there could possibly be. My only scouting report on the
old... There's a goose, there's a bird, there's iguanas.
My only scouting report on the Olroyd donuts so far is that they smell good.
They smell delicious. So, just wait. Soon you'll hear us eat on air.
That was so popular when we did it before. I don't see how it couldn't be a big hit here in March of 2021.
But, Adam, let's start with Carolina, Wisconsin in West Lafayette. Tar Heels and the Badgers meeting for the fifth all-time matchup. Third, that is coming NCAA tournament play. Carolina 18-10 overall. Wisconsin 17-12. And the Badgers have lost six of their last eight, seven of their last 10. And yet, if you look at who they've lost to during that stretch, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Purdue, Iowa, Iowa. All NCAA tournament teams, all top four seeds, I believe. Purdue might be a five, but we know Illinois and Michigan are number ones, and Iowa is a number two seed. So Wisconsin is a couple of things we know for sure. They're old. They're slow. And by that, I mean the way that they play, not their natural ability. And they've played in a very good conference, which it appears as though they are in the tier below the top tier this year, which is why they're at an 8-9 game with the Tar Heels, who have also, of course, been inconsistent this season. I think it is a really tough matchup for Carolina. I think if you line the teams up and said, which players would you want, I would take the Tar Heel players. But an experienced team with good guards and a unique style of play is the triple header of potential chaos for a matchup for the Tar Heels.
You think and hope that having played Virginia will help some in this game. It's like if you played Georgia Tech in the Paul Johnson era and then played Navy in the bowl game or something, you at least would have practiced against something similar. They take a ton of jump shots and score a whole bunch on three-point shots, which I think we all know that puts a little lump in your throat. They give up a lot of two-point baskets. You can score in the paint against them, which I think you don't always think of against Wisconsin, but you can against this team. They don't turn it over very much, but they don't force you to turn it over very much. So I think it's going to be important for Carolina to, as we saw them do in Greensboro, take better care of the ball than they had done at the end of the regular season.
It is absolutely paramount not to give up possessions in this game. We've said it a million times this year, but the Tar Heels' strength is on the interior and on the glass. I think it's even amplified in this particular matchup. You can, and for two reasons. One, Carolina will have an advantage down low, and two, the possessions are going to be lower. So even if you end the game turning it over at 12 times and you go, 12's not bad, but you only had 55 possessions or something, then it is bad. So it has to be an extraordinarily low number of turnovers, because if you do that and you just get shots, then Carolina is going to have a chance to win this game. If they don't get shots, and I know that sounds very basic, but you know where I'm going here. If they don't get shots, they're not going to win. If they have too many empty possessions, they're just not going to win, because there's not going to be enough possessions in this game to make up for a high turnover ratio, which sometimes you can do. And you saw, you know, Carolina turned it over 20 times against Florida State in the regular season. It was right around 20, it may have been 20, against Duke. You can survive it in those games because there's more possessions. You can't survive it in this game.
Yeah, and I think you're going to need someone to manage the game and maximize each possession. And I think one thing that perhaps is a little concerning as you look at this matchup is Carolina did look better against Virginia Tech and Florida State, but those are two very different types of teams that are willing to run up and down with you, and maybe you get four quick possessions in a span of a minute. You'll be lucky if you get the ball one time in a minute against Wisconsin. And so Caleb Love, RJ Davis, going to need to really have that in mind that, okay, not only do I need to run what Coach Williams called, but we have to execute it crisply. I've got to go to the right place. I've got to get the ball to the right place in order to execute these plays in the half court, because that's where the game's going to be played.
And, you know, we said this team's old. I mean, you look at this. Their leading scorer and leading assist man, Demetric Trice, fifth-year senior. Aleem Ford has started every game this year, fifth-year senior. Brad Davison has started every game this year. He's a senior. I mean, Micah Potter, who started 20 of their 29 games, is a redshirt senior. Nate Reavers, who has started 22 of the 29 games, is a senior. That's a lot of seniors, Adam.
Well, when you think about Carolina's success coming out as an eight, the teams that had the most success were led by experienced guards. You had Ed Cota in 2000. You had King Rice, who was a junior, in 90. And the team that didn't do as well had younger guards in 2013. Of course, they also played Kansas basically in their backyard. But whatever, just because that happened every year around that time, it's fine. I'm not bitter about it. Carolina, of course, doesn't really have experienced guards this year, and they're going against a team that, as you just said, has a ton, and that's going to be something to overcome.
It's a few minutes after 7 in West Lafayette. We'll be on the air at 6 o'clock. Now, there's a couple extenuating circumstances. We're still not 100% sure when we're actually going to be allowed in the arena. So, the beginning of our pregame coverage, you may just hear Eric and Dave, which of course is excellent. But we hope to be there live with you starting at 6 as part of the Reeves Jewelers pregame show. We're going to do our best. There's just some extra hurdles this year, Adam, which is understandable. But some of those extra hurdles are causing some confusion and some uncertainty.
Rest assured, we're doing our best.
We are indeed doing our best. At all times.
Most times.
Adam, I haven't really looked, but Baylor and Hartford, the matchup Carolina would match up with, and obviously Baylor is, as you would expect, as the number one seed, a high likelihood to move on, and I don't know. They've been very good all year long. They haven't played as well since coming off their COVID break. We'll just have to see.
Hartford's got Vin Baker. Watch out for him. Baylor is big and tough. They offensive rebound almost at the same rate as the Tar Heels, so that, in theory, would be a matchup of strengths.
But, Adam, only one focus right now, and that's Wisconsin.
That's right.
Tar Heels beat Wisconsin in 2005 in the round of 8 on the way to the national championship. Wisconsin beat the Tar Heels in the Sweet 16 in 2015 out in Los Angeles. They went to the title game, but lost a 9-point lead in the second half.
Carolina could have beaten Wisconsin that year.
Yes. Carolina had the lead in the second half.
I mean, Wisconsin was better than Carolina that season.
Yes.
But Carolina could have won that game, which I think sometimes you forget about.
Adam, anything else about the matchup with Wisconsin for the Tar Heels?
No.
Okay. A reminder that we're brought to you in part by LS Tractor. Let LS Tractor make short work of your outside chores or projects. Don't miss any Carolina game action. Don't miss the game tonight. Normal yard maintenance to larger projects, LS Tractor has the machine for you. The website is lstractorusa.com. Letter L, letter S, tractorusa.com. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? 3 interviews on the show. We talked to, and really from all different angles here, RJ Davis, of course, Tar Heel freshman guard. Talked to RJ about what life is like in Indianapolis, about Carolina's quality play in Greensboro, about what the Heels have been doing in isolation. Then Bubba Cunningham, The Bubba interview is from the video pod yesterday. Bubba is also in Indianapolis, but in a little different role. Of course, he is still there as the AD of Carolina, but he's a member of the selection committee this year. So he has some elevated responsibilities. And we talked to Bubba about the selection process, about managing that, what he learned during that. I think if you didn't see it yesterday, I really am looking forward to you hearing it because it was interesting to me, Bubba talking about a lot of that process. And then, of course, the women's tournament is getting underway soon as well. The Tar Heels are the number 10 seed or a number 10 seed in the event, and they'll be facing Alabama in San Antonio, where the women are having their controlled environment tournament this year. And Adam and I got a chance to talk to Courtney Banghart. That was for the video pod yesterday as well. But some good stuff from Coach Banghart. So we're going to go RJ Davis, Bubba, then Courtney Banghart, right in a row. And then we're back. A lot more to do here on the Carolina Insider.
As we talked about earlier this week, very few Tar Heels played as well in Greensboro as our guest today, RJ Davis, who had a great three games at the Greensboro Coliseum in the ACC tournament. Now he's in Indianapolis. RJ, thanks so much for giving us some time. What is life like there in NCAA land in Indianapolis?
I mean, it's very different. We're like in the bubble. There's, you know, rules that we have to follow. Can't really go out. You know, when we first got here, we had to be quarantined for 2 days. And we really had to stay in our room. We couldn't leave our floor. So the NCAA is doing a great job of just keeping everyone contained and make sure everyone's safe. Therefore, we can have a tournament this year. And I'm very excited, especially for it being my first time here. So, I mean, it's very unusual times, but I'm just grateful that I'm here.
Yeah, RJ, I was going to ask you, so where are you allowed to go right now if you're a player? Where are the places where you're cool to go?
Basically, from my room to the meal room to get COVID tested and to gym, and I have practice.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's basically it.
There's been some stuff on social media from other players on other teams who have been, it seems like, not real happy with the situation. Just from a player's perspective, is the ultimate payoff of playing in these games worth the details that you're having to pay attention to?
I mean, I'm here to play basketball. I'm here to hoop. I'm a hooper. That's what I love to do. I mean, the thing, you know, besides the basketball part, like, you know, the food, that's probably, you know, one of the main complaints that's going on around the bubble. And just like following the rules and the instructions. But I'm just glad and just excited to play for my first March Madness. I'm just ready to get out there. But it can be a little difficult at times just to, you know, especially, you know, we've been in quarantine basically the whole year, you know, staying with your teammates, not be able to, you know, fully experience that college experience. So, I mean, we're just here to win a championship.
So, RJ, let's talk about hoop a little bit since you are a hooper. I like that. So, what was going right for you? What was going right for you in Greensboro as an individual and as a team?
As an individual, I felt like, you know, going to the ACC tournament, it was a reset button for me. I just wanted to come in and just do whatever I can to help my team win. I felt like coming in, it was a clean slate. So, it was just, you know, do what I have to do individually. And as a team, I just felt like, you could just see how hard we play. And I just feel like, you know, when we play good, we're a really good team. And that's something that no one could take away from us. You know, we play with heart, we play together, and then hopefully, you know, going into this tournament, you know, that we could show that this upcoming weekend.
RJ, obviously you've played in basketball tournaments before. I understand that. But with that being your first one, major one at the college level, did you learn anything about – tournament play at this level from what you guys were able to do in Greensboro?
Yes. I just learned that every possession matters. Can't really take a possession off because it'll lead to the end of the game. So you really have to you know, play hard each possession and value each possession. No plays off. and make sure that, you know, everyone's locked in and everyone's, you know, together. Because when things get rough, teams tend to, you know, go against each other and, you know, kind of like argue when things get tough. So when things get tough, just make sure everyone's, you know, staying together as a team. And that's basically what I learned from, you know, my first, you know, tournament.
There was a shot you took late in the Virginia Tech game, three-pointer over there on the right wing across from the benches, and you made it with about a minute left. That was one of those classic, if it goes in, Coach Williams is over there pumping his fist saying, great job, RJ, and if he doesn't, he's saying, RJ, time and score. What's the mindset of, especially even being a freshman, of a player who's able to not just take that shot but make it?
Looking back on it, after watching the film and whatnot, I probably should have dribbled the ball out, but my mindset was just, you know, shoot the ball with confidence. I was wide open, so I just had the enough guts to take the shot, and it went in. You know, obviously, if it didn't go in, I would, you know, hurt it for my coaching staff. But you know, my teammates gave me the chance to, you know. They believed in me, and I was in the right position to make the shot, so I had enough confidence to take it and make it.
But we had to see the three goggles, RJ. If it hadn't gone in, we'd have never seen the three goggles.
I know, that was a little bit of an excitement, just a little a celebration excitement.
I think, and I may be totally wrong, I think I saw a quote from maybe your high school coach or an AAU coach or something that said, March RJ is a different RJ. Do you think that's true? Is March RJ Davis a little different?
I mean, I would say that, yes. I just feel like it's playoffs. It's when I go home. So, you know, you have to come out each game ready to play. Can't really, you know, slag off and play lackadaisical. You have to come out with a sense of urgency of, you know, you and your teammates wanting to play. So, I mean, if you want to see March RJ, you could just say, you know, I'm just here to play with my teammates and, you know, win. I'm not really trying to go home. I want to win. It's fun to win. So that's what I'm here to do.
What was the difference in first half Carolina against Florida State and second half Carolina against Florida State?
I think first half we dug ourselves into a hole in the second half, you know, having to, you know, come back and play with, you know, heart and energy. So I think second half we picked it up a little bit on both sides of the court, offensively and defensively. So I think second half was just a little bit more of our favor. We started to move a little bit, where first half, like, the ball was stagnant. Everyone was just sticking and not moving. In the second half, we emphasized, you know, you have to come out and play with the energy and move the ball, move yourself, and, you know, fall in love with the game. And yeah.
RJ, y'all's stats this year from the first half to the second half of games are pretty dramatically different, with the second half being a lot better in total. What? Why right. do you think that has been that way all season long, that the second half Tar Heels seem to be so much more effective than the first half?
I think we just come out with we don't come up with a sense of urgency in the first half, whereas in the second half, you know, everyone's locked in. I feel like, you know, if we play a full 40 minutes of, you know, with the great energy, you know, playing hard, playing Carolina basketball, it would be a different outcome in the final, you know, 2 minutes of the game. That's like the main difference. That's the, you know, difference between playing 20 minutes and 40 minutes as a whole, as playing Carolina basketball. That is the deciding factor to win the game.
RJ, you played very well in Greensboro against teams that were willing to run up and down the court with the Tar Heels and willing to play at that tempo. Wisconsin is not going to be willing to play at that tempo. How do you take the aggressiveness and the ability to push the pace that you showed against the faster-paced teams and put it into practice against a Wisconsin team that just wants to walk up and down the court?
I mean, we just have to play Carolina basketball. We have to, you know, Wisconsin is a great team. You just got to play Carolina basketball. Everyone has to do their job. Every possession matters, so we get to value every possession. Push the pace, get defensive stops, and then, you know, make a stretch at the end. That's what it all comes down to. We have to play a full 40 minutes of, you know, basketball. Can't just be 20. Can't just be 10. We have to, you know, come out with a sense of urgency in both halves of with a will of wanting to play and wanting to win.
All right, before we let you go, RJ, what have you been doing to kill some time there in Indianapolis when you're not doing basketball stuff?
I've just been on the game, really. Warzone, GTA, Fortnite, you know, a couple of my – we've been – we actually played yesterday, Fortnite, a couple of teammates and I. We played trios and duos. And then really just, you know, card games. That's really about it.
Are you getting dubs, RJ? This is important. Are you getting the dubs?
I got a dub yesterday, one dub yesterday. I didn't get a dub when I first landed, though.
What's the card game of choice?
Uno.
Oh, I like some Uno.
That gets intense.
Yeah, so hopefully we could play that whenever like we're able to be around our teammates, which I think we could be now. So when they allow us to that, I think we'll get to it with the Uno game.
Who's the best Uno player on the team?
I'm going to say me. I think my strategy is just different when it comes to Uno.
Oh, well, what is it?
I can't say too much. The magician doesn't reveal his tricks.
Understood.
If it's a Thursday, it must be time for Bubba Cunningham to join the Carolina Insider on the video pod where he essentially hosts the show. He hasn't had very much going on this year, so he decided to add NCAA Tournament Selection Committee duties to everything else he's been doing. Bubba, thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us. What has, especially Sunday and then this week, been like?
Thanks, Adam Jones. It's great to be with you guys, and it's been a lot of fun. I got up to Indianapolis Tuesday. We started meeting on Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we were working on seeding and bracketing for the tournament. And then they had the reveal show on Sunday night. And I thought Mitch Barnhart did a great job talking about the bracket. And incredible work by Dan Gavitt, Joanne Scott, and the entire NCAA basketball staff. The logistics associated with this tournament is incredible. And they've done a marvelous job with it. So it's been really interesting to be a part of it. It's been wonderful to help in a small way. And it was really good seeing all the teams come in over the last 48 hours. And the logistics of getting 2,800 people into this controlled environment and then having practices available, weight rooms available, and now they're practicing at the competition venues. It's certainly unique, but it's been an awful lot of fun.
So, Bubba, did you actually have to walk out of the room when Carolina was being discussed in these different conversations as far as the bracket and seeding everyone?
Well, great question. And yes, I mean, and they're very particular about that. So anytime Carolina was about to be discussed, I would have to leave. I can't answer any questions about anybody else in our conference unless it's a factual information. Did so-and-so play or did this happen or not happen? I can answer those questions, but the quality of a team, any of my opinion relative to anybody in our league, I can't express that at all. And there's four commissioners right now on the basketball committee. And anytime a school in their league is talked about, they have to leave the room as well. And they have a pretty cool little contraption there. It's a little doorbell, actually, one that you'd put on your door. And they've hooked up a ringer in the other room. And when you're out, they'll ring the doorbell and bring you back in. And you just wonder how long you're about there in the hallway. But they're very serious about not having a school or a conference influence the decision of the other nine members of the committee.
What's something about the selection and seating process that you couldn't have known unless you were in that room? And once you were in the room, you thought, I never thought of it this way.
Well, I mean, gosh, I learned so many different things about it. Number one is the depth of research that all the committee members do. You hear it talked about all the time and, you know, the body of work and all the different jargon that we use when it comes down to Selection Sunday. But it's all very true. That, you know, I was assigned three conferences this year as the primary person that watched those games. And the amount of detail that is discussed in the room in every conference, every team was a bit startling to me. How many players were available for this game? How many games did they miss for COVID? What was their home record, their road record? What was the conference record, the non-conference record? Where were the neutral site games? And then the depth of the players. Who was injured when this team lost to that team? I did not expect that. The amount of detail in seeding was incredible. I mean, the first part, as you could imagine, is getting the teams into the tournament. And then the second part is to seed them and to go line by line, 1 versus 2, 2 versus 3, 3 versus 4. Oops, I think 4 is better than 3. So then you have to go, okay, compare 3 to the 2 and continue to do that. It was painstakingly long, but I think overall it was well worth it.
Did you learn something about a team or about basketball or anything during that process that you were not anticipating maybe learning going through this?
Well, I certainly learned a lot about the teams that weren't in the leagues that I was covering. I was the primary for the Southern Conference. I was the primary for the MEAC, and I was the primary for the Mountain West. And so I knew those leagues. I knew the players. I knew the coaches. I knew the records. But I did not have as much detail on those other ones, even the ones running the secondary. And Clint Gwaltney and Steve Kirshner helped me this year in trying to figure out what I'm to do in this new role. And there's actually Richard Kerouac in our office who does an awful lot of work in compliance and financial aid in particular. But he is a master at statistics and analysis. And so I actually worked with him as well to help me look at the metrics that they're used, whether it's the predictive metrics or the ones that are just the statistics from the game. And he helped me put together a couple of different charts in a way to look at the RPI or the net, look at their various strengths of schedules, all of that stuff. So he was invaluable down the stretch as well.
This is, I think, kind of similar to what Jen's just asked, but what if anything did you learn that you might share with Roy Williams and maybe Clint Gwaltney that might help them build stronger credentials for Carolina in seasons to come?
Well, one thing that everyone thinks that there's one item that's going to make the difference. And I think, Coach Williams has been doing this for so long. I think he has the absolute right attitude, which is we're going to play the very best schedule we can possibly play. And we need to win a lot of games. Ultimately, you have to play and you have to win. You can look at all the metrics you want, but the one that matters the most is how many did you win, how many did you lose, and who'd you play? We're all looking for that one magic formula. It's not there. And you've got 10 different people on the committee. Everyone comes with a different perspective, and they're going to apply their perspective to their ranking. So when we're asked to rank these 10 schools and whether or not they're going to be in the tournament, we each get a vote. And if you get 8 of the 10 votes, that team goes into the candidates for selection. And if they don't get 8 out of 10 votes, they're still in kind of the waiting room, hoping to get an invitation to the tournament.
So, Bubba, there was the really unusual set of circumstances this year, of course, with COVID, that led to you having these standby teams and teams that had to kind of wait a few extra days to see if a slot may open up. How did you guys handle all of that and having that brand new group of teams that weren't quite officially not in until the end of the day on Tuesday?
Yeah. Well, we tried, we had to get to 72 teams basically. And the other thing I found interesting is that you literally have to do 4 or 5 different brackets. Sometimes they say they've done up to 12 brackets on Sunday night, because if a certain team wins their conference and they're an automatic qualifier and no one else would have gotten in, they're going to bump somebody out of the tournament. Somebody else might just get a different seed, and then that would domino a couple of other seeds within the tournament, and that would obviously affect the bracket. So I guess one of the things I did learn is you literally are there on Saturday and Sunday watching those games. And in this case, because Oregon State won the Pac-12 tournament on Saturday night, that bumped Louisville out of the tournament. And if one more team would have had an upset in the conference tournament on Sunday, Drake would have been out. And so literally there is a numeric order to these teams, and those upsets make all the difference in the world. And you hate to do it, but that's when the intensity is really at its peak. When you're in the room recognizing that you're going to vote, and this is the 60, and I always call it the 64th or 65th team, recognizing that there's 68 teams, but it's a hard line, and you do feel a lot of pressure when you're trying to make that last assessment.
You mentioned Louisville getting bumped. Looking at the teams that were in and out and the seeds that the teams that are in received, it didn't seem like the ACC had very strong credentials in the eyes of the committee. What was it about the ACC that wasn't as well received nationally, since we don't always see it that way, since we're right here in the middle of it?
Well, I think we did get seven teams in, so I think there's respect for the league, but I think we would all agree we probably didn't have the elite team or teams that we typically have. So the quantity was there, but maybe not the quality we've had in the past. And that may be due to the number of games that were played. I mean, to begin with, we all lost about five home games that we typically have. And Coach Williams talked about that throughout the year. To get a young team prepared, you really want to play a couple of games at home early to build some confidence. We never had the ability to do that, nor did anybody else in our league. And so we ended up missing games at the very beginning, 27 instead of 31. And then we beat each other, and then we had COVID, so we had a fair number of pauses within the conference throughout the year. And so we just never gained any consistency. Some of the other leagues just did a little bit better job with that. And, you know, the Big Ten had a phenomenal year getting nine teams in. That was remarkable. But overall, I think that the evaluation by the committee, I think, was very strong. And when you see the bracket, I think people think it was done really well.
So, Bubba, what happens now for you? Are you bubbled up here until the end of the tournament as a committee member?
Yeah. How about that? So usually what happens on the committee is you go to New York, where they've been doing this recently, and you build the bracket. Then everyone flies home on Sunday and actually misses the show. And then you're home Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. If you've got a Thursday site, you'd leave on Tuesday. If you have a Friday site, you'd leave on Wednesday. But since we're in this controlled environment, as we're calling it, we stay. So I came here on March 9th, and I go home April 6th after the Final Four. And so there'll only be 16 teams here next Monday. But that's the unusual part. So I've been to the convention center a number of times in the last couple of days. We have 12 practice courts set up over there. We have 6 weight room facilities set up over there. And the teams are now practicing there and today at the various venues. So right now I'm at Hinkle Fieldhouse in one of their hospitality rooms. And Florida's out there practicing right now. Georgia Tech was earlier today. Virginia Tech was the first team to practice. And we have three more practices after Florida this afternoon, 6 more practices tomorrow here at Hinkle. And then we play 3 games at Hinkle on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, Saturday, we play 3 games each. Sunday and Monday, we have 2 games here in Hinkle. So it's a lot of games in the next 4 days.
Well, while you're there, Jens and I really appreciate you leaving us in charge. And what we've done is we now have 5 number one ranked teams here at Carolina while you're up there in Indianapolis. We've been doing a great job. I just wonder how is that kind of success received by your peers? Do they say, like, you guys have really got it going on there in Chapel Hill? How do you do it? What is that like?
Yeah, I mean, there's just tremendous respect for Carolina. And so yesterday was our first practice over in the convention center. And I walked over with Coach Williams, and the team was working out. And so we walked the convention space with Coach Rob, Clint, myself, and Coach Williams. And the number of people that came up to him and said hello and talked about Carolina, talked about all the great things going on, it really makes you feel good. You got a lot of pride with our coaches and our student athletes and what they've accomplished, not just this year, but throughout our history. And there's just there's great respect for the University of North Carolina. And to be here with a lot of peers, it really does make you feel good and very proud.
But before we let you go, why is all this worth it? I mean, I think we all love watching the tournament, of course, because we love college basketball, but I'm not sure people quite understand how important this tournament is. Why are all these things that are happening, all these protocols, all the extremes that everyone's going to, why is it so important to do this?
Well, it's a great question. In fact, when Georgia Tech finished their practice, I walked out to the bus with Josh Pastner, their head coach, and we talked about that for a while. It started in the fall. You know, why did we play football? Why did we play soccer? Why did we play volleyball? It's because part of the educational experience for these students, not just the ones that play, is to have sports as part of their environment. So while we didn't get a ton of students to go to football games this year, some of them got to go. We tried to create experiences that are memorable for these people, for the students. And for the students that got to play, it was the one thing that they really loved doing. They got to practice, they got to play. And so this tournament, same thing. And it, you know, marks the 1 year anniversary of shutting everything down. There's a real sense of relief, although people are very serious about the protocols and they're really minding their business and how to conduct themselves. They understand how important it is to do that. But it's something that they've all been looking forward to and expecting that would hoping they'd be able to play this year. Having a few fans is something spectacular, but this is really important to them and it's part of their educational experience. And I think that that's probably the most important thing that we've learned is being together and doing things that you normally do is really important to our mental well-being. And I'm glad we have this chance.
We are excited to be joined by the head coach of Carolina's women's basketball team, Courtney Banghart. She and her squad just arriving in San Antonio for the NCAA women's tournament. They begin action on Monday against Alabama. We're going to get to the basketball, but coach, we have right here, we've got a dozen of the Old Roy donuts from Dunkin' Donuts, from Dunkin'. Now, two things. Number one, these are chocolate with Boston cream on the inside. Are you a fan of this type of donut?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a Boston cream, that's like kind of where I'm from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. See, now Adam doesn't like the cream. I am all in on the Boston cream.
It gets in the way of my donut. Don't be messing with my donut.
Well, you didn't give me the either or. I mean, if I could have a jelly donut or a glaze with chocolate, now we're talking.
Okay, but. Well, that was my next question. If we're going to get the old Courtney donut at some point, what's the old Courtney donut going to be?
Ooh, we can go one of two ways. I'll let Adam make the final decision. Chocolate with coconut flakes all over the top.
Ooh.
Or the regular, just good old blonde glazed donut with some chocolate sprinkle on top.
Ooh, Adam, your final decision?
Either's a great option. I like how the coconut adds some texture on top of the chocolate, but it's hard to go wrong with that classic donut with the chocolate sprinkles on it. Either way, we're all winners.
By the way, if you buy one of these, 50 cents for every Old Roy donut purchased at Dunkin' until March 27th goes to either the Food Bank of Metrolina or to the UNC Children's Hospital. So it's a great cause, delicious donut. Check it out at Dunkin'. Now let's talk a little basketball. Coach, how has your life been for the last few days after learning that you guys were indeed in the tournament and that you're facing a very good Alabama team in round one?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, this is, it's been a really unique year for everybody. But as I said to my team, the great thing about the NCAA tournament is even when you come from a tradition like, you guys still there?
We're here.
Okay, good. Sorry. Even when you come from a tradition like Carolina, you don't get in because of your tradition. You get in based on what you did the last 364 days. And, this team had to scrap and claw and be really good late in order to get their bid. But I've been a few times before and it just never gets old, the excitement of earning something that so few can get.
You know, Jones, sometimes people accuse us of only having people on the video pod who provide items for our pod studio. We now know that's definitely not true because we know Courtney Banghart has never provided us with anything the pod studio despite repeated requests. That being said, I'm sure there's a logical reason for that. Coach, what do you think it says about this group that not just winning enough basketball games to get into the tournament, but weathering all this other stuff to maintain that level of play that's necessary to go to the postseason?
Yeah, I think especially, first of all, I'm just ignoring the previous part, the beginning of that question.
That's what you've been doing every other time we've asked too, so that's exactly what we would expect.
Hey, the good thing is you got to wait for. I think this what made it really tricky for us, obviously, is we're sort of in the process of rebuilding this great brand, and then you throw all the new faces. So we've got three players on our roster that were even on the team last year. So you add all these new faces, you take away a non-conference, you take away sort of the excitement of playing in front of fans. You take the mental breaks away where they get a chance to regroup and maybe have 48 hours off and go home, or even a longer stretch after the ACC tournament. Yeah, there's been just a lot of different things that usually an experienced team can handle. And I know on the men's side and our side, we just don't have experienced team. So we've got to have to, it's a really tough thing for a young group, and really great that both programs are dancing.
Coach, one of those young players is Deja Kelly. And of course, she hasn't done this by herself. You guys have a lot of veterans, Janelle Bailey and Petra Holoshinska and others. But it seems like Deja Kelly has really made some strides here late in the year. I know she was very highly recruited, very highly thought of, very high talent player. How have you seen her grow as you guys have gotten to this point of the season?
Yeah, I love that you asked that, because I think sometimes that the stars, they come in with a big target on their back, and then everyone has an expectation for what their journey and trajectory is going to look like. And, you know, everybody's journey is really different. You know, everybody's trajectory is and their path to get there is really different. And you have someone like Alyssa Usby on our team who came in the least highly ranked kid in that class, and obviously really kind of had a sprint into her college career. And Deja had to process a lot more. Obviously the ball's in her hand a lot. She's having to play off with the ball in her hands as opposed to playing on the wing, which she played a lot of in high school. And she just kind of stuck with it and dealt with the adversity and the expectation in a way that was true to her. And I give her a lot of credit, because she could have packed it in and said, I'm just going to get better in the off season and come back ready to fight. And she just, thankfully, as she has played better, so have we. So her trajectory has been her own, and I'm certainly glad it's where it is right now.
While we've been sitting here eating donuts, I know you've probably been watching Alabama. What have you seen from the Crimson Tide that'll be important on Monday at noon?
You know, they start, literally, I think they're all 12 are seniors. I mean, they've got so much experience. I know their first five were on that team that played a lot last year as well. They've got a little bit of everything because of that. They've got three legitimate scorers that have consistently scored all year long, that are really experienced in SEC play. They play zone, they play man, they kind of have this funky zone actually, as well. So that will take a little bit of adjustment for us. They're good in the open court. They've got good size inside. I mean, they've really got a lot of things, as you'd expect for a tournament team.
Coach, this might be a hard question to answer, but is this about where you thought you would be in year two, you know, making the tournament, seeing some very clear strides from year one to year two? Is this where you hoped to be, where you thought you would be? Do you even think in those terms?
You know, I think probably more hoped. You know, I think when we got here, I first took a little bit of time to assess where we were at. I knew where I wanted to go. I just had to figure out how to get there, right, with what we had and what the steps needed to be. And then you throw in a global pandemic. I mean, there's just been a lot, right? And, you know, to have so many new faces and have to rely so much on really Janelle's consistent leadership, as well as the grad transfers that we had to sort of bring in late. And then, of course, our so many freshmen, you know, they've done a lot to get to the tournament in just my second year, and really their first year. So, you know, I give them a lot of credit. It's probably more I hoped for it than thought for it.
So, again, it is Monday, Carolina and Alabama in the first round of the NCAA Women's Tournament. Before we let you go, I know you're relatively new to it, but what is life like there in San Antonio, and as far as trying to isolate and get yourself ready to go as far as the tournament is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the college kids, it's a chance for them they're still taking classes, they're student athletes, and they watch Netflix, they listen to music, they FaceTime, they TikTok. That's not really the things that I kind of do during the day. So, you know, when I thought that it was going to be sort of this first, you know, two negative tests, you know, and then we'd be able to exercise outside and do some things that kind of are more typical to my days. And I just blanked out that part of the message. So I was in the, we were on our bus ride to the hotel, and I had said to our director of ops, you know, from like three seats away, since we all sit so far apart, I said, do we know if there's a good loop or near a hotel? And that led to the conversation that, no, I'm like never leaving the hotel, like not even, you know, that's just never happening. So to be honest, it still sort of hit me. And so I'm sort of like, what? So luckily I've got about 20 strides from the end of the room to the end of the room. So I'm going to be, I don't know, planking and lunging and I don't know what else to try to make that happen. But it's a totally different type of tournament. It's a totally different type of year. I'm really grateful for our administration. I told Bubba that he asked us if we wanted to play, and I said yes, and he's done everything he can do to make sure that can happen. And so has the NCAA. So I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad there's a tournament, and if the bubble means we can play, then bring on the lunches, I guess.
We appreciate everybody's time here on the show. Our interviews are presented by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field, but doing so with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel, so put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. To learn more, you can visit the website trustedchoice.com and find an agent near you. That is trustedchoice.com. Adam, are you mentally prepared for the five-second challenge?
Because I have the sweet fumes of the old Roy putting that sugar high into my brain, I'm ready.
Yeah. Maybe I went ahead and brought the old Roy donuts out early just to try and mess you up, just to try to throw you off your rhythm.
Yeah, how am I supposed to think about the Tar Heels when I got old Roy staring me right in the eyes?
Okay, Adam, this is the 18th year that Roy Williams has been the head coach of Carolina basketball.
18th.
Tar Heels will be playing in the NCAA tournament for the 16th time in those 18 years. There was 1 year that they missed the tournament in 2010. And then, I mean, what could they do in 2020? There was no tournament.
They wanted to play in the tournament, but they didn't have it.
Yeah.
There was no tournament.
Their hopes were high, but there was no tournament.
We'll never know what could have happened on Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
Look, they came out and said they were willing to play if selected.
Right.
As teams often do.
That's right. So, they have missed it once. 1 year, there was no tournament.
Right.
Adam, Wisconsin, in those 16 years, becomes the 16th different first-round opponent for the Tar Heels. Adam, how many of the previous 15 first-round opponents for the Tar Heels in the Roy Williams era can you name in 5 seconds? Your time starts now.
Air Force, Oakland, Radford, Providence, Villanova.
Time. You got five.
That's pretty good, I feel good about all five.
You started hot. I was like, whoa, Adam may just get like 9 of these.
Well, you know what happened? I got Texas in my brain because they were the second opponent the first year of the Roy Williams era. Yeah. And then I couldn't get Texas out of my brain.
As happens many times to the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, you said, let's just go through this chronologically.
Okay.
2004. One of your answers was Air Force. Mm-hmm. Adam, that's correct.
Yep.
Tar Heels won 63-52 in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. 2005. Adam, you said Oakland. Also correct. Tar Heels won that one 96-68 in Charlotte. On the way, of course, to the title. In 04, Heels lost the next game, as Adam referenced, to Texas. 2006. Murray State, the opponent. A 69-65 victory for the Heels in Dayton, Ohio.
Closer game than you might have remembered, but hey, you already heard the very special episode of the pod. The big win that season had already happened.
Bobby Fraser hit a big three in that late in that game against Murray State. Mick Cronin was the head coach of Murray State at the time. 2007, Adam. Tar Heels in Winston-Salem defeated Eastern Kentucky. 86-65 went on to the round of 8 before falling to Georgetown in overtime. 2008, Raleigh, North Carolina, the site for the Tar Heels topping Mount St. Mary's 113-74. Carolina would lose in the national semifinal that year. They did beat Arkansas 108-77 in the second round, so they went 108-plus in back-to-back games. 2009, Adam, you said Radford. That's correct. Even without Ty Lawson, Tar Heels beat the Highlanders 101-58 in Greensboro on the way to the national title. 2011, so the Heels missed the tournament in 10. Only year under Roy Williams that's happened. 2011, Carolina beat LIU, formerly known as the Blackbirds, in Charlotte 102-87. 2012, Carolina beat Vermont 77-58 in Greensboro. Both those years, 11-12, Tar Heels fell in the round of eight. 2013, Adam, you snuck in Villanova. That's correct. Carolina beat the Cats 78-71 in Kansas City.
Jay Wright, always so classy doing those pregame interviews, even before the NCAA tournament.
Tar Heels were an eight seed that year. Last time they were an eight before this season. 2014, Adam, you got Providence in there. Tar Heels beat the Friars 79-77 in San Antonio.
Scary mascot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably the scariest.
That was the year we've talked about this before. Carolina probably should have lost that game and then should have won the second round of game against Iowa State, but the results ended differently.
Who was the guard Bryce for Cotton. Providence Bryce who was the Cotton. Best player I've ever seen?
Bryce Cotton.
He was unbelievable.
So those were your answers. We've used all your answers, right? Yes. So you did get Air Force, you got Oakland, you got Radford, you got Villanova, you got Providence. Good work. Here's the rest. 2015, 67-65 win against Harvard in Jacksonville, Florida. That one got tight at the end. Harvard, it was tied, and Harvard had the ball.
Tommy Amaker.
16 in Raleigh. Heels beat Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast, 83-67.
How many dunks did they have in that
game? Zero, Adam. 2017, Greenville, South Carolina, a.k.a. Baby Charleston. Tar Heels crushed Texas Southern, 103-64. Texas Southern, you don't know how close you were to being a terrible footnote in Tar Heel history by injuring Joel Berry's ankle. Not on purpose, of course, in that game. That almost put the Heels at a disadvantage moving forward, but that tough little nut, one of our all-time favorites here on the pod, Joel Berry.
I'm Joel Berry. See you later, Big Grits.
Last two, Adam. In 18, Carolina beat Lipscomb 84-66 in Charlotte, and then beat Iona in Columbus 88-73 in 2019. Of course, no tournament last year, so who knows who the Tar Heels would have defeated.
Yeah, somebody doesn't have to be on that list.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, Adam, that was pretty good. You did pretty well.
Not bad. I'm always happy at five. That's one per second.
Yeah. I think, Adam, we should do our Champions Watch, and then we'll eat some donuts. So,
okay.
The Champions Watch, we need to get this out of the way before we eat the donuts, is brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. unchealthcare.org/sports. Adam, who of the many champions on campus do you have your eye on?
He takes a timeout. They're out of timeout. Technical foul. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Hey, guys, going to have to drop in here because Adam chose Carolina softball for his Champions Watch this week. Softball team was scheduled to face Florida State in a weekend set, but after we recorded, it was announced that, unfortunately, that series had been canceled due to COVID problems within the Tar Heel program. So we'll change gears for our Champions Watch presented by UNC Health. Highlight women's tennis, number one in the nation. Women's team hosting Duke in Chapel Hill today, Friday, 3 o'clock. So Brian Kalbas, his women's tennis squad in our Champions Watch. Do better next time, Adam. Back to the show. Okay, Adam, reminder about the Old Roy Donut from our friends at Dunkin'. We're in the window, right in the heart of it, from the 14th through the 27th of March. 50 cents of every Old Roy Donut purchased at Dunkin' goes to UNC Children's Hospital or the Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina. This is Coach Williams' favorite donut right here. We have one in front of us. Confirmed, we believe, to be Boston Cream. We've received a tweet that said it was indeed Boston Cream, but we're about to find out for ourselves in person. It was Elizabeth Eford who sent us the donuts, or sent us the picture of the donuts. I'm sure she would have sent us some donuts if she could have. It was our friend Meredith who sent us the actual donuts. Thanks, Meredith. You can get your Old Roy at your local Dunkin'. support UNC Children's Hospital or Second Harvest Food Bank of Metrolina. Adam, I am handing you the knife.
I accept, sir.
Now, remember, Adam doesn't like the Boston cream. Well, Adam, you're going to have to cut deeper into the donut than that to get to the cream.
I don't like the cream, Jones. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm cutting mine right down the center.
So, is that Boston or Bavarian?
Okay. This has been a hot topic because Coach Williams said Bavarian cream when talking about his donut. And then we received a tweet. I think it was from Lindsay, right? Yeah. Lindsay Carroll said, serious question. Are Boston cream and Bavarian cream not the same thing? No, they are not. Boston cream. Hold on, Adam. I've got to re-pull up my Google search that says, are Bavarian cream and Boston cream the same? Bavarian cream uses whipped cream and heavy cream. Boston cream uses milk and eggs, is more custardy. Boston cream often served with chocolate, while Bavarian cream is usually served with fruit.
This is Boston cream.
Hands down, that's Boston cream.
Yes, I think. Don't you?
Yes, 100%. And Elizabeth Eifert, who we mentioned had ordered the Old Roy donuts, says, our family tried the Old Roy donuts. My husband and I usually go for simpler donuts, but we were pleasantly surprised by how much we liked these. I can confirm the filling is custardy, like Boston cream pie, not the white cream, which we believe to be the Bavarian cream. Also, David, I think it's Biddix. David said, are the Old Roy donuts available statewide or just in the Triangle? He stopped at a Dunkin' in Marion, but they didn't have any. I think it's just in the Triangle and just in Charlotte. I think it's just the Triangle in Charlotte.
Marion's right outside of Coach Williams' stomping grounds.
Yeah, you would think of anywhere, they would have them.
They basically invented the Old Roy donut there. Well, I'm glad to know this is Boston cream. I feel extremely confident about it. And now I know Bavarian equals fluffy. Boston equals custardy. And these, my friendly listeners, are not fluffy. I'm not saying that in a bad way.
I gotta say, mine doesn't have a lot of cream in there.
Maybe they gave you mine by accident.
I mean, there's a little bit in there.
I'd like the
look
Old
at that.
Roy
there's not
hold
much
the
in
Boston.
There.
Yeah, look you got that. Shortchange, but look at mine. Boom.
Yeah, look at mine.
Yeah, you got the Old Roy sans cream.
Yeah. Very low on cream. Maybe we should switch, Adam.
Yeah.
Here, yeah, here. You take that. Here, you put the piece that you bit and put it on that. There you go. Okay. Hey, I know y'all are enjoying listening to this. And I get that one that has more cream in there. Okay.
Okay.
Now, that way, no COVID problems there. We're not biting off the donut that the other one bit off of.
No.
We use the knife.
Yeah.
Adam, has your mind changed at all on Bavarian or on Boston cream?
Well, this is not the donut I would pick if I was picking the Old Adam. And we know we've got the Old Roy. We heard Courtney Banghart earlier describe her Old Courtney donut. If I was picking the Old Adam, I'd go a different way than this. But you also have to factor in that I'm hungry, so my bar may be slightly lowered after a hard day of podding.
Yeah.
And so I think this is fine. You're more of an expert on this type of donut. What do you think?
I'm all in on the donut. This is my favorite donut. Not necessarily because it's the Old Roy. Anytime I get a donut, it is the Boston cream. So this
could be the Old Jones.
Yes, that is what the Old Jones would be. Yes.
Wow. You and Coach Williams, in many ways, on the same page.
Yeah. We're copacetic that way.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, as you enjoy really almost a cream-free Old Roy, the one that I had. What an upset. Adam, should we get to your list? Do you even have a list, Adam? A small list. Adam is finishing some donuts, so he can only... Here, let's play charades, Adam. Okay, two words. First word, small.
No, first word, low.
Second word, it's a horse. Okay, let me think. Mr. Ed. No. Okay, let me think. Justify. No. Okay. Oh, it's a little Sebastian list.
What's on the top of Adam's list?
Up in horsey heaven, here's a thing.
Brought to you by Top of the Hill.
You trade your legs for angels' wings.
Where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
And once we've all said goodbye.
Okay.
You take a running leap and you learn to fly.
We're going to start with a what up, Jones. Right on the top of the little Sebastian list.
Thank you.
Johnny Knight brought to our attention that we were extremely derelict in not giving a what up, not a single mention of Wes Miller and UNCG going to the NCAA tournament. Johnny says, can a Miller brother get a what up? Why, of course. What up, Wes Miller? Clearly, he has done a fantastic job. And I really do feel like we talked about this at some point, but maybe that was in my dreams. He's done a fantastic job at UNCG with that program. Consistent winners, consistently competing for the conference. Of course, this year they won it, regular season and tournament. And what do you think? Spartans and Seminoles, that's when I saw that go up on the board, I thought, that's a tough draw.
It's a tough draw. I think Wes Miller is, in my opinion, a very good coach. So I think he will, and as we know from talking to him, I mean, he has his core beliefs, but I think he's also a relatively flexible coach. And I think, especially at the UNCG level, and that is in no way meant as some kind of knock, they're a smaller school, I think you have to be willing to be a little more flexible in this type of matchup, because I think it's hard to just say, if you don't think your stuff matches best with who you're playing, I think you have to be willing to maybe think outside the box a little bit, even if it's just for one game. I'm not saying completely change what you do, but you understand what I'm saying. And I think Wes Miller is very willing to do that. So I would assume they are going to be well prepared. They are going to have a great game plan. Can they hang up or can they hang on personnel-wise? Probably not. I mean, Florida State's got really good personnel. They had better personnel than a lot of teams in the ACC this year. So that'll be a challenge, but I think he will give them the best opportunity to win the game, which is what you want from your coach.
I think it'll help him that I'm guessing he's going to have a very detailed Florida State scouting report.
Also true, yes.
I think it's sort of a handshake deal. You don't provide scouts on conference opponents, but it's Wes Miller, and I'm guessing some information will go his way. Really commend to you, if you missed it, the September 24th, 2019 pod, which was a Wes Miller interview.
I'm Wes Miller. See you later, Big Grits.
We both left that interview when we conducted it going, Wes Miller, regardless of his pedigree, is an impressive head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember leaving that interview thinking differently about Wes Miller. And I don't mean that. I always kind of thought of Wes Miller. It's like, oh, there's young Wes Miller who kind of got a weird set of circumstances that got him that UNCG job. Isn't it great that he's doing well? To then, after we talked to him, going, Wes Miller seems to have really embraced what it takes to be a successful Division I coach and is super mature about it. So, yes, I would very much – what was that date again, Adam?
September 24th, 2019.
Yeah, I would – if you never heard that one, I would suggest you go listen to it, because Adam and I were both impressed walking away from that one.
And I think you're going to see Wes Miller's name in the mix quite a bit post-NCAA tournament for other head coaching jobs. Wanted to mention that son of Odell Jones is one of the people who tweeted about Brian Kersey and the officials. He was bummed that his tweet went uncredited. I hereby give that tweet credit.
Yep. Son of Odell was upset with the officiating in the Florida State game.
Hard to imagine why.
And it has been rubber stamped.
Also, big discussion, King Jones, Kate Leslie, all in on this. Several folks, either some sort of pod fan post-pandemic convention, pod fan post-pandemic party.
Jones, you've offered to have this at your house, yeah. which I thought was nice.
It was nice of me.
You're going to let everybody bring over.
Who knows where my house is anyway. Yeah, come on.
They're usually sitting in the street anyway, so it's more convenient to just assemble there in the yard. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Adam, I think this really goes back to something that you said near the beginning of the pod. Now, this is on a different scale. Adam's thought was having some kind of off-season Carolina basketball convention. A lot of professional teams do that. Where it's, and again, this is obviously all in post-pandemic world, but where you have a weekend or something where, hey, and I know your experience with it, I think, is with the Cubs, where it's like, hey, if you're a Cubs fan, come on to Chicago for this weekend, and there's going to be a bunch of Cubs fans, and there's usually some, you know what, Adam, like, there's like autograph sessions and
panel discussions right. of, in this case, alums.
Right. And so this sounds like something that could be similar to that, obviously on a smaller scale than a Carolina basketball convention, which I still think is a great idea.
I do too. Well, why couldn't this pod?
We could just have a tent.
Right.
At the Carolina, we'd be just out on yeah. the outskirts of the Carolina basketball convention.
That's the answer. Yeah. Is this is a, like a satellite of the Carolina basketball convention. And, you know, one afternoon from, well, Jones wanted to have full five course dinner yeah. with like a pregame event and a postgame dessert for a couple hours. Then there'd be some sort of pod event affiliated with the Carolina basketball convention. The people want the Carolina basketball convention.
Yeah.
It needs to be held around camp, which, as we know, no camp last year, slightly different version of camp this year. When we go back to normal camp and all the former players are in town, that's the time to do it. Get them all together. Fans will love coming to Chapel Hill. People love an excuse to come to Chapel Hill. Hotels love it because it's business. And everybody will have a great time.
Kate Leslie did say, or maybe just pod fans could go to a bar. Also a good idea. That's a good idea.
Or maybe to Pinehurst.
May I suggest, Adam? The North and South Bar. They're in Pinehurst. It has its array of bourbons, whiskeys, and scotches. Plus, they're the Pinehurst Brewing Company for craft beers and classic North Carolina barbecue. Not to mention golf. There's Donald Ross's masterpiece, number 2, Gil Hance's stunning redesign of number 4, or maybe you're just Rusty's level. You just want a fun short course. Well, good news. There's the Cradle. All at Pinehurst, the cradle of American golf. Go to pinehurst.com and plan your visit. Did you see some other podcast was trying to get in on our Pinehurst?
Yeah.
On our Pinehurst relationship?
Hey, buddy, we're already talking to that girl.
Yeah, that's
she
right.
came with us.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't be moving in. Don't be putting the moves on her. Pinehurst didn't look in your way. Don't be fool. They didn't wink at you from across the pod.
Yeah. No, you cannot dance with our dates.
Yeah. You dance with the ones that brung you. And we brung Pinehurst. You bring somebody else. Lots of other golf courses in this land. None as fine as Pinehurst. And no one's more qualified to say that than me.
Adam, is that it for your little Sebastian list?
Yes.
Okay. Back into the barn, sir. We want to close out today with a story time, Adam. And this one comes from our friend Lydia McGee. Lydia is from Durham, North Carolina. And she sent us this one after the hashtag very special episode that we had. Looking back at the win over Duke in Cameron Indoor Stadium for their senior night back in 06.
Hey, speaking of very special episode, I'm 6 episodes into WandaVision.
Oh.
I got 3 more to go, then we'll see where we stand.
Yeah, I've watched it all.
Yeah, I know.
It's good.
I'm not there yet. I'm getting there.
What's your thought? Do you like it?
It's fun picking out the cues for the older shows.
Hmm.
I didn't know the old shows.
Right.
But I knew, like, Family Ties, there was a big-time connection there. Right. I really liked that. That was fun.
Okay. You'll like it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Lydia. I was trying to get Mr. Goose Honkers out and read your story before Adam very rudely interrupted. But now let's get to it. Yes, Adam, what did you go see in the movie theaters recently?
You know, I recently caught a Broadway show, and let me tell you a couple things.
All right, here we go. Lydia McGee, our storyteller today. So, Mr. Goosehunker, sir, get yourself warmed up, because Lydia's story starts like this. Lydia was the retail manager at an old country store that shares a building with a restaurant with rocking chairs on the front porch.
And there was a really tall four-year-old there named Walker who kept ordering really big meals and playing the peg game very successfully. But we don't want to give away what it was.
This particular store slash restaurant is located in Durham, just a couple of exits away from the Duke campus. I was working during the breakfast hours one March when several members of the Duke team, including J.J. Redick, came in with Jay Williams leading the way. It wasn't uncommon for players from that particular school to come in since we were so close to their campus. Anytime they were in the house, there was always some kid or even some adults asking for a picture or an autograph, and they usually obliged. What was fun for me on this particular day was knowing that my beloved Heels had beaten them the night before on JJ's senior night. So this is the day after the game highlighted in our very special episode. As they were being seated, Jay Williams told their server that he needed to speak to the manager. Even before they sat down, Adam.
That's aggressive.
When the manager, who is also a Tar Heel fan, approached the table, Jay asked him, "Do you know who I am?" Mm. Something Adam pulls out a lot at Duncan. The manager, knowing full well who it was, said, "No, sir, I'm not sure that I do."
Good answer.
Jay responded, "My name is Jay Williams. I used to play in the NBA. The manager, ever heard of it? No, I added that part. The manager acted unfazed by this and asked how he could help them. Jay's response still makes Lydia laugh to this day. Jay told them, "These boys suffered a terrible loss last night. They are extremely upset. They want to be left alone. They do not want to speak to anyone. They just want to eat their breakfast in peace. Please make sure that no one, including your staff, comes over and bothers them." The manager agreed to keep people away and then went into the kitchen and busted out laughing. We couldn't believe they would actually request to be left alone. To this day, Lydia thinks about this, especially when the Tar Heels beat Duke, and always wonder if the team is going to go out to eat the next day while requesting to be left alone.
I choose to believe that that's 100% factual.
Yeah. Can I add the funny side story that Lydia added here?
Sure.
She said, "Once or twice a year, we would get a collection of collegiate merchandise to sell in the store. We sold both Carolina and Duke merchandise in the Durham store. I would always put the UNC items at the front of the display facing the door so you would see it when you came in. One night, a gentleman asked to speak to me about the display, and he said in a very harsh tone, 'Do you know where you are? Why is this UNC stuff at the front and the Duke stuff at the back?' He sounded so upset by this. So Lydia smiled and said, 'Yes, sir, I know exactly where I am. I've lived in Durham since 1965. If you asked my staff, I'm sure they would tell you UNC is on the front because I'm a diehard Tar Heel fan. However, I'm also a business person responsible for the sales in this store, and I put the UNC items towards the front because it outsells the Duke by about 2-to-1 margin. I hope that helps you understand." Boom! Lydia just dropped some business knowledge on that guy. I love it. Lydia, love it.
What's that mic on the floor? Oh, Lydia just dropped it there right in your face!
I like that we've got operatives like Lydia out there working in the heart of Durham. Keep fighting the good fight. Thank you, Lydia. That's like a little mini story within the story.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I'll probably never
enter that type of restaurant again without wondering if the Blue Devils are somewhere in there eating their post-loss breakfast, having chosen on a day that evidently they want to be completely left alone to go out into public to a place where there's almost always a line and many people want to play the peg game. They can't think of anything else to do other than go out in public to be left alone.
They've got all the managers actually holding up towels around their table so that people can't bother them.
The only thing missing from that story is Lee Melchione's like digging into his grandpa's breakfast, and then along comes John Stillman, and Lee Melchione's like, "You want an autograph?" And Stillman's like, "No," and then push him down right in his eggs.
And then Dickie V says, "His granddaddy, his daddy could shoot too.
His daddy was a captain. His daddy was a shooter too, Lee Melchione."
Lydia, good stuff. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I feel like that's like a postscript to the very special episode.
Yeah, it really was. It was like a nice little, it's like the credits are over.
Yeah.
And then it said, the next morning.
Oh, Adam. Has anything good ever occurred when the conversation started with, "Do you know who I am?"
Nah. And you're just not going to look good. You're not going to come out of it looking good when you say that. Period.
Well, and what do you expect the other person to say? There's only two answers. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Or nope.
Or the secret right answer, like Lydia's store manager there, who did know but acted like he didn't.
Is there ever a time when it's not better to respond, "No, I don't know who you are"? Like, when would it ever be good to say, "Yes, I do know"?
Yeah.
Never. You should always say, "Sorry, don't know."
Adam, anything else?
No.
Okay. So, a reminder again, 7 o'clock-ish tonight. I think the actual tip's like 7:10 maybe, for Carolina and Wisconsin at Purdue.
2021.
A normal way to come to the final stretch of this season. So we'll be on there again at 6 o'clock for that one. The women play Monday at noon, and we'll have coverage of that as well on the Tar Heel Sports Network. Matt Krause will call that one for you. We'll see you next week. But for now, we're going to let RJ Davis, Bubba Cunningham, Courtney Bankart all get us out of here, along with the Rizzo, of course, on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
I'm RJ Davis. See you later, Big Grits.
Hi, it's Bubba Cunningham, and I can just say, see you later, Big Grits.
I'm Courtney Banghart. See you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by GiveUNC, Carolina's annual giving day. Make this March 30th a day like no other by supporting the causes at Carolina that inspire you most.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.